विदुर उवाच सुखाय कर्माणि करोति लोको नाथ सुखं वान्यदुपारमं वा विन्देत भूयस्तत एव दुःखम् यदत्र युक्तं भगवान् वदेन्नः विदुर उवाच सुखाय कर्माणि करोति लोको नथ सुखं वान्यदुपारमं वा विन्देत भूयस्तत एव दुःखम् यदत्र युक्तं भगवान् वदेन्नः विदुर उवाच सुखाय कर्माणि करोति लोको नाथ सुखं वान्यदुपारमं वा वन्देत भूयस्तत एव दुःखम् यदत्र युक्तं भगवान् वदेन्नः Eight sage, everyone in this world engages in creative activities to attain happiness. But one finds neither satiation nor the mitigation of distress. On the contrary, one is only aggravated by such activities. Please, therefore, give us directions on how one should live for real happiness. Purport. Vidura asked Maitreya some common questions which was not originally his intention. Uddhava asked Vidura to approach Maitreya Muni and inquire into all the truths concerning the Lord, his name, fame, quality, form, pastime, entourage, etc. Thus, when Vidura approached Maitreya, he should have asked only about the Lord. But out of natural humility, he did not immediately ask about the Lord, but inquired into a subject which would be of great importance to the common man. A common man cannot understand the Lord. He must first know the real position of his life under the influence of the illusory energy. In illusion, one thinks that he can be happy only by fruitive activities. But what actually happens is that one becomes more and more entangled in the network of action and reaction and does not find any solution to the problem of life. There is a nice song in this connection. Because of a great desire to have all happiness in life, I built this house. But unfortunately, the whole scheme has turned to ashes because the house was unexpectedly set on fire. The law of nature is like that. Everyone tries to become happy by planning in the material world. But the law of nature is so cruel that it sets fire to one's schemes. The fruitive worker is not happy in his schemes, nor is there any satiation of his continuous hankering for happiness. Vidura said, O great sage, everyone in this world engages in creative activities to attain happiness. But one finds neither satiation nor the mitigation of distress. On the contrary, one is only aggravated by such activities. Please, therefore, give us directions on how one should live for real happiness. Srila Prabhupada says here, in the purport, that Vidura was a pure devotee. He could have directly asked a question relating to Krishna and his pastimes. But instead of inquiring like that, he is asking some very basic question about the fruitive activities and the results of fruitive activities. And Prabhupada is saying here, which was not originally his intention. He says that Vidura, he should have asked only about the Lord, but out of natural humility, he did not immediately ask about the Lord, but inquire into a subject which would be of great importance to the common man. So in the morning, we were giving an example about how the mind of a pure devotee is very pure. Like in a village, sometimes you see a house neatly, very beautifully, smoothly polished with cow dung, and it is fragrant with cow dung. Cow dung is the only dung which is fragrant, and littered up with agarbattis and the flower vase with fragrant flowers. It's a very beautiful, pure place. The mind of a devotee is like that, pure devotee. On the other hand, the mind of a conditioned soul is like what? It's like sometimes you find in the prasad hall, after everyone has finished prasad, it's not yet cleaned. There are some particles of rice and other things, sabji, lying there. And all the flies are coming and sitting. So it's a very unclean place. Or if there is a dead rat somewhere hidden, unfound, then it sends out a foul smell in the air. So, in the same manner, when one is a conditioned soul, there are so many bad mentalities that occupy the mind of a conditioned soul. Like I was telling you about the greed and envy and lust and anger. So, because of these things, one cannot be peaceful. These are the things that leads to fruitive activities. What is the path of fruitive activity that is mentioned here? That is very elaborately explained in many sections of Bhagavatam, you will find. See, Bhagavatam is called Paramahamsa Samhita. It is meant for the Paramahamsas. But you find in the pages of Bhagavatam, the path of fruitive activities mentioned in different places. Like for example, you read the third canto, chapter 28, 29, 30, 31. Very elaborately it's given how your conditioned soul with the enjoying mentality is trying to run around in this world, endeavoring to become happy. So that is the foundational point aspect of the fruitive activities, trying to enjoy the material world, and as a result of that, suffering. Yeah. Like once Prabhupada was in Detroit, when he was when he crossed the road and he was walking by the side of a park, one Christian father came there, and then Prabhupada was like very casually talking to him, and the father said, "I am a Christian, you know, we follow Bible, and probably you are a Hindu, so you follow another book." Prabhupada said, "How does it matter? God is the same." And then Prabhupada told him, "Do you agree that we are suffering in this world because we are separated from God?" He asked him. And the father immediately agreed, "Yes, it is true." And he said, and then the father asked Prabhupada, "But Swamiji, what separates us from God?" He asked. And Prabhupada immediately answered, "Sin." And he asked, "Swamiji, what is sin?" And Prabhupada said, "Sin means disobedience to God." And then he asked, "But why do we disobey God?" Prabhupada said, "Because we have uncontrolled senses, which are impure. And we misuse them, and by misusing our uncontrolled senses, we disobey God." "But Swamiji, why do we misuse our senses? Why don't we use it rightly?" "Because senses are impure." "Swamiji, but what to do with these impure senses?" "So we have to follow the four related principles. Then we can clean them up. But we don't feel like following the four related principles. What to do?" "So chant the holy names. You will get the willpower to purify the senses." So, Prabhupada's philosophy was impeccable. It is so logical. You can belong to any religion. All religions, they say the same thing, what we are saying now. So, Prabhupada could preach to anybody like that because his philosophy was very logical and foundational for every religion. Every religion says the same thing. This is the foundational thing. So the miseries arising out of the misuse of the senses is the central theme of the path of fruitive activities. The miseries arising from the misuse of senses. So that is all elaborately explained in the in all the scriptures. You go to any place where there is some religious sermon going on, one of the, ideally speaking, if it is a proper lecture theater, proper lecture going on anywhere, you will find, they may tell you sweetly or they may tell you harshly, but the truth is the foundational thing. We have to give up our separatist mentality, trying to enjoy separate from Krishna. And the more we try to enjoy separately from Krishna, the more we will suffer. So in one purport, very beautiful purport, recently I was reading from the 11th canto, very nice verse. The beauty of this purport is what? The 3rd canto, chapter 28, 29, 30, 31 and all, 4 or 5 chapters, summary is given in one purport only. This is given by disciples of Srila Prabhupada. They have summarized it, so I would request you to patiently hear this for next few minutes. See, this is the verse. I think this Vasudeva is telling to Narada. Konu rajan indriyavan mukunda charanam bhujam na bhajet sarvato mrityur upasyam amarottamaihi. He is saying upasyam means Lord Mukunda is worshipable even by amara uttamaihi. Those people who have become amar, immortal. Uttamaihi means the topmost of the liberated personalities, the devotees. Even for them, Mukunda is upasya. Mukunda is worshipable. What then to speak of the ordinary conditioned souls? Na bhajet sarvato mrityur, he is saying. Who is there in this world who will not want to worship Mukunda? Because there is sarvato mrityu. There is mrityu everywhere. And then he is saying, konu rajan indriyavan. Who is there in this world who is carrying his senses with him but is not worshipping Krishna? He is saying. Which means, you cannot have the senses and still not worship Krishna and expect yourself to be peaceful. It is just not possible. Because anybody who is endowed with senses has to misuse the senses without having taken shelter of Krishna. That is why the path of Krishna consciousness is so scientific. If somebody is not dynamically engaged in Krishna consciousness, by default, you can assume that they are misusing it in Maya service. By default. Like sometimes I don't get a mail from a devotee for 6 months or 5 months, you know. Then I ask him, hey, what is this? You know, you don't send any mail, you know. He says, Prabhuji, I thought you are very busy. I didn't want to disturb you, you know. Then I used to ask him, how are you? Are you peaceful? Peaceful, really? Are you engaged in Krishna service? No, Prabhuji, you know. I'm not getting much time. You can by default assume that his mind is going in some nonsense direction. 100% you can give a certificate. For any conditioned soul. That is why he is saying here, Konu rajan indriyavan. Who is that fellow in this world endowed with senses? Mukunda charanam bhujam. One who has not taken shelter of Krishna's lotus feet. Na bhajet sarvato mrityu, he says. If he doesn't do bhaja, if he doesn't worship Krishna, he has to misuse his senses. Now, if you go to 2.56 in Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna asks this question on sthita prajnasya ka bhasha. That also is very connected to this. Sthita prajnasya ka bhasha samadhistasya keshava sthita dikyam prabhasheta kim asita pajeta kim. 3 questions he asked him. My dear Krishna, what is the symptom of a self-realized soul? What are the symptoms? Just like a rich man has some symptoms. You know, he has come in a very costly car. He wears a fine dress. He eats fine foods. His language is language of aristocracy. The way he shakes his hands, the way he smiles, the way he behaves, you know, the kind of things that he uses and the people that surround him. So based on that, you can know that somebody is very rich man. Similarly, a diseased man having tuberculosis will be coughing all the time. You understand? Similarly, a self-realized person has to have some symptoms. And what are those symptoms? So that is very important. So Prabhupada says that a fool is unrecognized until he opens his mouth, he says. So sometimes, you know, externally a person looks very smart, but once he opens his mouth, you know that he's a muff. You know? He doesn't know much. So that is why Arjuna is asking, you know, Kim Prabhashita, how does he speak? How does he sit? How does he walk? But each of this has a very deep meaning. The first meaning, because Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur has explained these things, he says, when other people show friendliness or neutral behavior or anger, so how does this fellow respond? Not only respond, what is his mentality? And what does he speak and how does he, what mentality he has, he is asking. Then he is asking, how does he sit, means what? In this world of senses and sense objects, while carrying his senses with him, how does he restrain his senses from sense objects? He is asking. And not get, you know, infected by the three gunas. Rajaguna, tamaguna, sattaguna. Karanam guna sangosya. Sadasat yoni janmasu. How he doesn't get sadasat yoni in this world? How does he doesn't become infected? How he keeps his senses clean and pure? Senses means the mind also is included as a sixth sense. Senses in the mind. How he keeps them pure? Then he is asking, how does he speak? How does he walk? He is asking. How does he walk means how he engages his senses. He must be engaging because there is no one in this world who may not engage their senses at all. How does he engage his senses and still not get entangled in this world? How he keeps himself aloof in this world of senses and sense objects. So very meaningful. So Krishna gave answers to all these questions. Like, you know, he is telling the first lakshanam. Avasita Prajna is saying, Prajahati yada kaman sarvan. Prajahati means he has given up all material desires. Because material desire is the power supplier for materialistic activities. Material desires stored in the mind of a conditioned soul is the one which takes shape in the form of materialistic activities. So the material desires have to be destroyed. And the material desires are like stars in the sky. They are unlimited. You see, it is said, like if you take a average man in society, you know, drawing some mediocre salary, you know, say somebody is drawing some 8-10,000 rupees monthly. If there is suddenly somebody getting sick in his family, immediately gets tension. Is it not? Immediately he feels fear. Because, you know, he can't afford to spend much. And he has to count and spend the money. But imagine if somebody is a multi-millionaire, you know, somebody gets sick in his family, that's not a big deal for him. He can just phone up and call the doctor. Isn't it? Similarly, a pure devotee's heart is very rich with Krishna consciousness. So the disturbances of this world don't affect him. And the small disturbances which come like ripples in a pond or something. But because we don't experience very high ecstatic spiritual bliss, even the small disturbances offered by Maya, the allurements offered by Maya may greatly agitate our minds because we are poverty stricken from a Krishna conscious point of view. That is why to enrich the heart is very important. That verse in which he says, Param Drishtva Nivartate. When your consciousness is very enriched, you can say no to the lower pullings and pushings of the senses, he says. Otherwise, you see people coming and asking, you know, oh, you know, this problem, that problem, petty, small problems. That basically, the problem is they are not studying Bhagavatam. They are regularly not reading or they are not applying. Yeah. They may be reading. Somebody says, I have finished the whole Bhagavatam 2 times. And then still he is having problem. Either he has not read properly or he is not applying properly. If anybody is applying, the small pushings and pullings can be very easily overcome when one can be drowned in Krishna consciousness. So, he is saying, the first lakshanam is one should give up the materialistic engagements and materialistic desires, he says. And then he is saying, Dukkeshu anudignamana sukeshu vigatasprava vita raga bhaya krodha Svetadevara Munirachyate. So there he says, because our body is conducted by the three doshas, you know, kapha, vata, pitta doshas. People who are having vata problem, you know, this explanation is given by Acharya, so I can give you. It's not my Ayurvedic knowledge. This is Vishwanathakurthi Thakur says. He says, people with vata dosh, they'll be always worried too much. They'll be in anxiety. They'll be very fearful. This kind of tendencies are there in vata dosh. Tension. Tension building up. This is vata dosh. That is why bhaya is mentioned here. And then he's saying, krodha, in people who are influenced by the pitta dosh, they can become angry at the by the least provocation. By little provocation, immediately they can flare up and get wild. And kapha dosh, people, they are very chubby cheeks. Like your chubby cheeks, dimple chin, eyes are blue, lovely too. They are very jolly people. The only problem is they are very slow to think and slow to move and slow to act, and they are mostly very complacent. They will have very healthy body, too much healthy body. Too fat. So they are kapha body. So although they may be jolly in material enjoyment, so they become attached. Raga. They get attachment. So vita, raga, bhaya, krodha. Three things he is saying. Raga, bhaya, krodha. In vata dosh there is bhaya. In pitta dosh there is krodha. And there is, in kapha dosh there is attachment. Metal attachment. So he is saying vita means one has to rise above these three. Which means we have to rise above bodily consciousness. He says. Vita, raga, bhaya, krodha, sthiti, dhir, muni, ruchite. And also he says, dukkeshu, anudignamana, sukheshu, vigataspra. In sukha and dukha, they should be able to be steady by holding on to the lotus feet of Krishna. And rising above the bodily tendencies. The body has a certain tendency, but we can rise above it. It is possible. He says that, you know, even when the sufferings come, they don't become carried away by bhaya, raga, krodha and all these things. So like that Krishna gives each of the symptoms. Then he is saying how one is sitting in this world of senses and sense objects. He gives example of tortoise. Like a tortoise withdraws its senses and keeps it inside. And nobody can kill the tortoise. You know, even if you beat the back of a tortoise, it won't die. So a Krishna conscious devotee means what he says, he knows when to use the senses and when to withdraw the senses from this world of senses and sense objects. You see, Acharya commentary, he also says, when one sees Paramatma in his heart, then he will not be looking for some juice in material enjoyment. By sticking his neck out of the window to look for some material happiness, is there something in this world for me? No, because he is inward. Yonta sukantara aramas tatantah jyotirevayah. Krishna also says that. That internal bliss means actually one is delighting in Krishna consciousness. So otherwise what? Then one will become bahiratta maninaha. One will be looking for some happiness in the world outside. And age is immaterial. One may become very old, one may get white hair, all teeth may be fallen, eyes may go into the socket, senses have become weak and invalid, one is carrying a stick and stumbling and walking, still the desire for material enjoyment doesn't go away. It is so deep-rooted. Even an old man who is 85-year-old will want to see a young girl giggling and laughing and speaking. And he will get attracted by that. He would never consider that, look at me and look at my age. My body has become completely emaciated. I look like a monkey now. Yeah, I am carrying a stick in the hand. I am so old. The desire for material enjoyment is so deep-rooted. Even in that age. Tatapina munchati asha pindam, he says. So, actually, when we are hale and healthy, when we are young, we have to destroy the material desires by intensifying our Krishna consciousness. So that when we get older, you know, our Krishna consciousness will actually bring us good and bring others good also. So, you know, Krishna says like this, we should withdraw the senses. In fact, Arjuna is very intelligent. The question he is asking, not only is asking, what does he do with the senses? He is also asking, what is his mentality? Okay, I am withdrawing my senses, but after withdrawing the senses, am I contemplating on the sense objects? That is simply useless. Like our Purnachandra Prabhu, when he came to Pune, so he used to give very graphical examples. So he was telling, it's like, you know, it's like passing stool in the pant, he was telling. You know, outside he wears a neat pant, you know, wears a tip-top coat, suit, tie, everything. But inside he has passed stool. Now how will people come to know? It'll start stinking. You come to know it. See, I'm not telling my example, don't worry. I'm quoting from Bhagavad Gita class. So he was telling, what is his mentality? So that mentality is also important. Then Krishna says, Arjuna, his mentality is also very pure. Why? Because he is saying, Vishayavani Vartante, Niraharasya Dekhina, Rasavarjam Rasopyasya, Param Drishtva, Nivartate. He is getting some higher taste due to which he says no to the sense objects of this world. He is discarding them, he is saying. And then he is saying also, subsequently, Krishna could not hide himself. Eventually Krishna said, Tani Sarvani Samyamya, Yukta Asita Mat Paraha. That's the first time Krishna is introducing surrender to him. He had to tell the truth, because without surrendering to Krishna, no one can control the senses. It is just impossible. There is no second method of controlling senses in this world. In fact, one who has controlled the senses can make disciples all over the world, he says, Rupa Goswami says that. But how did he control the senses? Somebody may wonder, in Nectar of Instruction, the first verse, he's talking about Vacha Vegam, Manasa Vegam, Krodha Vegam and all that. Actually, all those Vegams cannot be controlled unless one takes very firm shelter of Krishna. Otherwise it is just not possible. It's almost next to impossibility. Delighting in Krishna consciousness, one can forget the snake-like senses which always want to loosely act in an unrestricted manner and want to go in the wrong direction. Then Arjuna suddenly had a question. Okay, I will become Krishna conscious, but before becoming Krishna conscious, I am in the path of becoming Krishna conscious, but in the meantime, I may encounter sense objects. Midway, somewhere. Then what I should do? Then Krishna speaks about the dhyayito vishayan punsa sangasteshu pajayate. While having not yet purified my mind, if I encounter the attractive objects of this world, he said, two things can happen. Either I firmly stick to the Guru's instruction out of love for Guru and never get weakened determination and go on, and then I purify my heart, and then once I become fixed up in Krishna consciousness, then I'll never look back. Or one can fall victim to the sense objects. Like that, like the Krishna explains. Yes, one can fall down into a material pool. This is not only for sadhus or mendicants or brahmacharis, it is even for grihasthas, it is for vanaprasthas, it's for sannyasis, it's for any living body. It's for anybody in this world. Because the nature of material desires in this world is such that it will always ask for something which should never be asked. It will desire something which should not be desired. Like Ravana desired something which should not be desired. Duryodhana desired something which should not be desired. Actually, devotees of God, they know that I can work hard for something which is very difficult to obtain, which is attaining the spiritual world. It may be very difficult, but I will do it at any cost, because that's the right thing to do. But I should never desire something that should not be desired. That should be known to any sincere follower. So, if somebody doesn't take spiritual life very seriously, their mind will become flooded with material desires. Naturally, the material desires will not keep us peaceful. The nature of material desires is that they will keep on nagging. Nagging in the mind and impelling one to walk the path of sin. That's why Krishna told that verse, Kame Esha Krodha Esha Rajo Guna Samudbhava. Mahashano, Mahapapma, Vidyena Mehavarinam. And that is the reason many times the spiritual masters are approached by the disciples, you know. Like, you know, a brahmachari is having a problem. or a husband or a wife is going to the guru and saying, my husband or wife is giving me problem. And why the fellow is giving problem? Because he's not engaged in Krishna consciousness seriously. That's the problem. The problem lies there. Just like you go to a doctor, he gives you some medicine, and then you take medicine. Initially when you went to doctor, you had a severe stomachache. You were rolling on the ground crying, and then the doctor gave you some medicine. And then you ate it for a couple of days and stomach pain is gone now. Then what happens to medicine? You just keep it in the cupboard. You don't complete the dosage, which is supposed to be taken for 3-4 weeks. You forget the medicine, you forget the doctor also. How many of us call the doctor and say that, doctor, my disease is cured now? Do you think anybody says that? Doctor has to understand that he is all right now. Because he didn't call me, that means that fellow must be all right now. Isn't it? Or maybe he has changed, I'm the doctor or something. So, you generally don't call. But then after 2 days, again you get a severe pain. Then you call the doctor. Oh doctor, I'm feeling again severe pain, you know. I thought I'm all right. And doctor says, did you complete the dosage? He says, no, I didn't. Then he says, start it again. Then he is saying, okay, I have to search. I don't know where I kept it now. Then he go back. And what is that medicine? That is the bead bag with the mala. People start chanting 1 round, 2 rounds. They come to temple and there is a serious problem. And when the problem is gone, bead bag also is gone. Along with the problem. It is lying in one corner. And then you tell him again, chant. Then he has to search for the bead bag now. This may be for a newcomer. But even those who have been practicing for a long time, if we don't take Krishna consciousness very seriously, the material desires will become trouble-giving agents. All that is troublesome to the heart. Bhagavatam says that. Yeah. Why that abhadra is called as troublesome to the heart? Because it will trouble you, it will trouble your family members, it will trouble the other members in society. Ultimately, it is trouble-giving to everybody. And the trouble can take many shapes and forms and sizes. All kinds of things. Yeah. And that is the reason one has to keep oneself, like, you know, one counselor asked his guru that I am having so many counselors coming to me with problems. And some of their problems are of such a dangerous nature, they are unmentionable. And you can't even tell anybody. They have such dirty and dangerous problems. And when I hear them, my mind also gets polluted. I also become agitated what to do. So his guru told him that you should practice Krishna consciousness with such intensity that it can burn away the dirty things that you have to hear from others. And it can also burn away their problem also. So you have to keep yourself so Krishna conscious. So you have to be flooding with Krishna consciousness yourself. He said, only then you will be able to help people having such problems. Otherwise you will not be able to help. Otherwise you will also get drowned in the problem. Sometimes it is said that if a guru gives diksha to somebody who is a fallen soul, then guru can also get bad dreams. Of course, guru will not fall down, but guru can be attacked by bad dreams, or he can be attacked by some diseases in his body because of giving shelter to an unworthy candidate, like that. So it's the duty of every disciple to constantly struggle to keep themselves very pure. If we might have spent 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, we should never take Maya lightly. Maya is so powerful, at the least expected moment, she will suddenly knock a person down. Or she will be very slowly, you know, like the rats biting. Kruk, 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 you know, she will bite little, 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 and one day the bridge will collapse. So one has to be very watchful. And in this way, Krishna is saying, Tani sarvani samyamya yukta asita matparaha vashehi asyendriyani tasya prajna patishtita. He is saying. So now, in this way he goes on, and then he is telling, indriyanam vicharatam yanmano anvidiyate tadasya harati prajnam vayurnam avyambasi. Same thing what he told you now. He is saying, Madhav Arjuna, our mind is like a boat which is unanchored. When a boat is not anchored in Krishna's lotus feet, we are not anchored, then it can be swept away by the wind. Similarly, our senses can be swept away by Maya if you are not anchored in Krishna's lotus feet very strongly. So, he is giving a warning to Arjuna. And then subsequently he goes on, after explaining all these things, finally one beautiful verse he says, विहाय कामांजस सर्वान् पुमांश्चरति निस्पृहः निर्ममो निरहंकार सशांतिमधिगच्छति. वेरी ब्यूटिफुल वर्स. विहाय कामान, ही हैज गिवन अप ऑल मटेरियल डिजायर्स. यस सर्वान् पुमांश्चरति निस्पृहः, ही वॉक्स ऑन दिस सर्फेस ऑफ द ग्लोब ऑन दिस अर्थ. निस्पृहः मीन्स without any material desires. Nirmamo, he has no mamata for anything material, because his mamata has got transformed to Krishna. Krishna is mine and I am Krishna's. So that mamatvata has become identified with Krishna. Nirahankara, he has no false ego or proprietorship in this world. He says ahankara actually means becoming a nationalist or becoming somebody with some material identification, identifying with anything material. Sashanti madhikachati. So now I told you the theory behind the fruitive activities. Now we can see some practical aspect of fruitive activities. Now if somebody's heart is not peaceful, they cannot take to spiritual life also very seriously. Like if somebody's mind and heart is filled with either material desires, or as I told you, hankering for something, lamenting for some loss, or anger and greed and lust and all these things, these are raging in the heart. So there is difficulty in focusing on the holy name. But there is no other way also, alternative. Although it is difficult to focus on the holy name, the acharyas have said, despite all these difficulties, you know there is one verse, bahu janam. In many janam you study shastra and bahu janma koti shravana kirtan. Somebody may study lot of scriptures, they may chant crores of rounds, but without paying attention to the holy name, without sincerely desiring to advance in spiritual life, but do it in a ritualistic niyamagraha fashion. You know niyamagraha? And doing it for the sake of doing externally, ritualistic fashion, then they may not make any progress at all. They have spent many years, but they may not make much progress. One may be just stuck. But one has to make conscious endeavor to uplift oneself. That's why study of Bhagavatam will give us clues on where are we lacking, where are we deficient, and how do we need to modify our in the performance of spiritual life, how we can purify more. So, the path of fruitive activities is explained by Lord Kapila, in the, as I told you, in the 30, chapter 28, 30 and all. There he says, Vayoriva Ghanavali. He says, just like a big cloud in the sky, appears very huge in size, like a huge elephant, but when the wind blows, wind can blow and it can take the cloud also ahead. Huge cloud, it can move to the other end of the sky. Similarly, somebody's existence in this world appears, a man is indefeatable. He is like Anil Ambani or Bill Gates or somebody like that. So much of money, so much opulence, the influence he has over people and the gold and silver he has and the the kind of building in which he lives, it appears that he is going to live forever. But then one stroke finished. The material world is so created that yesterday night somebody was alive and today morning they are gone. Just like you see one Prime Minister of India, famous lady Prime Minister of India, but one of her own Kurga watchman with a stun gun shot her dead. Finished. In a few moments she was finished. And she had a couple of sons. People thought that surely they will become the next Prime Minister. One of them was considered more smart. But that fellow took a chartered plane and he was taking a saucer. And above one Ashoka hotel, when he was doing a saucer in the sky, he fell on the ground and the plane crashed and he died. One fellow was gone. Another fellow, he was killed by a live bomb somewhere in South India. One live bomb lady came in the name of putting a garland, she came and she exploded. And you can imagine the mother and two sons, all of them died in very in extreme ways. One was shot, one was killed, and one died in an accident like this. And what kind of family? It's a royal family. Her father was the PM of India another time, isn't it? Yeah. You see, people, even born in such royal families, you know, death can come at any time, and it can come in a very cruel manner also. And one is moved from one situation to another like this. Okay, somebody may say, okay, that's a royal family. The other day I was in the Pune railway station, train was standing. So when I was peeping out of the window and I was watching, I saw one big goose, you know, this is a rat, you know, between the railway line, trying to eat some garbage, you know, eat some dirty things, and living in a hole there. It's a dirty area, very, very dirty. The whole area is dirty, wet, moisty, and all kinds of garbage thrown here and there, and this poor fellow. I felt so sorry to see that fellow, you know, living such a lowly lifestyle, you know, living in, his body is also very damp and wet, and is living in such a dirty atmosphere, eating all kinds of garbage. I just live in a hole. He's also living any day. He's living, I don't know how long in that body he has to live like that. And the beauty is, Kapila says, narakastopi deham bhai napamam stektum ichati. He says, even in such a, you go and tell that rat, your situation is very bad. You know, we'll give you a better place to live. He won't leave that place. He says he is attached to that place, he says. Just like that Indra was attached to his living place as a pig. He says, whether one's situation is a low-class situation or high-class situation, he says that everyone in this world, they are satisfied in their position. And they are thinking that, let it go on like this. That's how the complacency sets in one's life. One doesn't feel the urgency to become Krishna conscious and go back to Godhead. You see, this, just like human body is very rare, it is said, isn't it, to get. But after getting human body, another thing more rare is what? To feel the urgency to go back to God. For although one has got the human body, that's why he says, Vayoriva Ganavali, he says, sir. Hare, remember that the body can be taken away any time. In fact, Chanakya is saying, there are two paths, he says. One is to work for eternity, or to work for the temporary. There are two parts. And he says, if you work for the eternal, your temporary things also will be taken care, he says. But if you work for the temporary, both eternal and temporary goals will be finished, he says. You have forgotten the eternal goal and your temporary acquisition will be finished. That is also said by Kapila. Kapila is saying, many times a man secretly does cheating in his business in order to earn some money by foul means so that the family members can enjoy. But then he says, all that money is stored in the bank and the family members enjoy, and this man leaves the money behind and he goes to hell carrying the sinful reactions with him to the hell. And now you will find, even from a material point of view, if a man has committed a murder, for example, he is only hanged. The family members are not hanged. And then, you know, even if a person surrenders the money to the police, still there is some punishment, you will see that. So, Kapila is explaining about the lifestyle of a living entity in this world, how he does all kinds of wrong things, you know, and he thinks nobody knows what I am doing, I am secretly doing. But then there are 12 sakshis watching him, like the sun, the moon, the sky, the earth, the water, and the super soul, and different demigods, all are watching him. Nobody can do any wrong thing without their knowledge. And everything is recorded properly. And then he goes on to say many, many things in this world, how, you know, the relatives are like Svajanaka Dasyu, those who loot his property. So many, you will find in Bhagavatam, you read this Forest of Material Enjoyment in the fifth canto, you read this Kapila in the third canto, you read the Avadhut Brahmana in the seventh canto, you read the 11th canto, another Avadhut Brahman. You will get in many sections of Bhagavatam the path of fruitive, prabhriti marg. it is explained. Yeah. In fact, there are two types of people explained there. One is a irresponsible fellow. Irresponsible fellow who does all wrong things. Another fellow is a dharmanishta. One is a good person. You know, he is dutiful to mother and father and wife and children and family and friends. Both these people go. Of course, the person who is irresponsible and doing wrong things, he goes to hell and suffers terribly and all that. But even the person who is very righteous and religious, he has many difficulties in life. Like, you know, responsibilities in family life are explained to be like climbing a mountain and going to the top of the mountain, I mean climbing up higher and higher and higher. While climbing up, there are so many thorns. It's like that, like getting a daughter married. He says parents are very much in anxiety till she settles in life. That's one example given in Bhagavatam. Similarly, many responsibilities. For example, when a man gets newly married, he enters the family life with a desire and hope that it's going to be a bed of roses. But then it's only a matter of time. In 5-10 years, people become very mature. They understand it. Life is not a bed of roses. There are many responsibilities. Like, for example, the wife may get sick, and one may never want to see her sick. One may want to see her as if she has a, imperishable, you know, undiseased body, which is always ever fresh. But the material body is not like that. It always brings forth problems. Like a husband thinks my wife should never get fat. She should always remain slim. But many times it is not in her hands. Maybe she is coming in a family where, due to heredity. See, mind you, all the fat people are not fat because of eating too much. This is one misconception people have. Many people, they get fat because their father is fat or mother is fat. So while marrying, a man thinks, oh, she is like a fatty. And then after 10 years, she becomes very fat and he feels very sorry. So, yeah. Now, and also she brings forth a long list of things to be purchased. Long list of things to be done. And this fellow becomes very sorrowful. He thinks, alas, alas, how much can I earn and how much can I work? So, actually, she cannot be blamed also because she has to run the household. She has to see that everything is in proper place. Our Badrinarayan Prabhu was selling. He was saying that a man had a jinn, like Aladdin's lamp, you rub the lamp and then you get a jinn. So the man told the jinn, can you please make me a bridge between California and Seattle or somewhere he was selling. So the jinn said, hey, you have been asking me to do so many things and now I am very tired. Please give me rest for 1 week. After that we will see, he said. You are asking me to make such a huge bridge between two distant points. That will take me a long time. So let me rest for a week and then you give me something else. Then this man said, okay, can you please at least tell me how I can please my wife? And the jinn said, okay, tell me, when do you want the bridge? So what he was selling, pleasing wife, pleasing mother and father, pleasing relatives and friends, pleasing children, is not an easy thing. It's not an easy thing in this world. Because in this world, the demands are unlimited in this world. He said, it's not only to blame women. The men's demands from women are also too many. Similarly, the demands of women from men are also too many. Once Isanath Ramanath Maharaj was telling, husband and wife, sometimes the quarrel is so much that sometimes they want to get separated, but they can never get separated also. Because they are bound by sacred vow. There is mother and father, grandmother and grandfather involved. So, when you stay together, you have problem. When you get separated, you still have problem also. Because it's Krishna has made this connection like a symbiotic relationship. Both are mutually dependent on one another, husband and wife. That is how he has created this world. Like cow and the farmer are mutually dependent. Husband and wife and parents and children. So, that is how it's made. In the second book that Maharaj is preparing, Ramanath Maharaj is preparing, in that book he had written that once his mother, in her bedroom, she was dressing herself. and she was putting kajal in her eyes, and Maharaj was a small boy. So his mother called him and kept him on her lap and said, "My dear boy, I have to tell you something very important," she said. And said, "See, everyone in this world loves me. Everyone in this world loves your father. But, you know, we both don't love one another anymore. Because we have a misunderstanding. So we have decided to become separated," she said. Immediately, the boy started crying and weeping, and he started breathing heavily, and there were torrents of tears in his eyes. And he started loudly shouting. And mother embraced him and caressed his hair, patted on his back and tried to calm him down. And his eyes became reddish. And then she told him, "Okay, don't worry, we will not do that," and all, she said. That evening when the father came back, the mother and father, they were sitting in a room. The door was mostly closed. So Maharaj was a small boy, so he tried to overhear what are they talking. So and mother was telling to her husband, "Actually, you know, we both have misunderstanding with one another. I thought we will get separated. But when I told this to our child, my Lord, the way he cried, I think we cannot do that. For our child's sake, let us stay together and try to understand one another and try to cooperate," she said. And then Maharaj says, from that day on, the next 2-3 years, their respect and love and mutual trust developed so much. He says, "I cannot believe how they changed so much. Because this is family. Family means for the sake of the child sometimes. Sometimes for the sake of the crying mother. For the sake of the crying father. Or the relatives and friends sometimes. Because there is a sacred vow that binds them. And there are many difficulties that will come. Misunderstandings will come in the family. Between father and son. Between mother and daughter. Between husband and wife. Between brother and brother. Brother and sister. In every family ego you will find, because we are not above the three modes. We are still under the three modes. So that will be misunderstanding. Yeah. And we need wise people in the family to instruct us. Yeah, it's very important. And because if we don't have learned people in the family, there can be fight for even small things. Just for some petty things there can be fights, quarrels. But if there are spiritually advanced, mature personalities in the family who are also respected, then the family can go on. And there are so many responsibilities, Kapila explains. And then he says, when people finish their term, when the death comes, after death also he explains what all will happen. So I will read this purport briefly, which summarizes that whole chapter. He says here, "My dear King, in the material world, the conditioned souls are confronted by death at every step of life. Therefore, who among conditioned souls would not render service to the lotus feet of Lord Mukunda, who is worshipable even for the greatest of liberated souls?" And then he says in the purport, the word Indriyaman is significant in this verse. Indriyaman means possessing senses. Although we are conditioned within the material world, by the mercy of the Supreme Lord, we are awarded a human body, which possesses distinct senses, like eyes, ears, tongue, nose and skin. Generally, the conditioned soul uses the senses in a false attempt to exploit material nature for sense gratification. This is what we were talking. Generally, one uses senses for what? For sense gratification. But our material senses and their objects are temporary, and it is not possible to become peaceful or happy in the attempt to gratify our temporary senses with the temporary objects offered by Maya. See, this is most important to understand. Like you see, Maya is offering so many enjoyments which are filthy, which are dirty, which are crazy. Like in South India, you know this idli? You all know idli, right? See, they will make the idli in the morning, and all the people would eat idli, and then if nobody wants any more, they'll keep it. And the night you come back home, they will break that idli. Usili they call it. Usili means they break the idli and they put some cabbage or onion, you know, and put a chowk in that, and they make it like a upma kind of thing, upit kind of thing. Along with that you have some some liquid, kotsu they call it, some kind of, you know, liquid item to take with that. So you eat that idli, it will look very fantastic, very nice it will look. Sometimes they make it in the next day also they make it. Next day morning also. Sometimes. Yesterday they made idli and today they make usli. Next day morning. And the usli will look so attractive. So you will think as if it is made fresh. But it is the old stock. Isn't it? Like I was scolding one devotee. Morning they made khichdi somewhere in one of the student centers. And that fellow is taking the same khichdi in the evening and reheating it. You know. And putting some kothimir in the top. And giving it like that. I told you, you cannot heat rice. Prabhupada said, by heating rice, it becomes poisonous. And sometimes the old stock, that's what most of the hotels do. If you go to the hotels, and they make it very fresh and give idli, sambar and all that. They keep reheating and giving like that. Similarly, Maya also gives you the same old stock of sense gratification. Punaha punaha charvita charvaranam. Same thing. It's like the chewing gum already chewed and thrown away. Again she will pick it and give it to you, you will accept it. Again you will keep chewing it, although there is no taste in that. It's crazy. In every body we do the same nonsense. And after engaging in the nonsense, one understands it is nonsense. But before that one doesn't have any good sense, you see. So the good sense will come by study of scriptures and by chanting of the holy name. Because if we don't become pure in this world, we cannot enter the spiritual world. It's not possible. Prabhupada is saying, if you have not given up the sex desire before quitting the body, we will have to take another body. You can be a grihastha, you can be a brahmachari, you can be a sannyasi. Whatever ashrama you have accepted, one has to rise above bodily attractions, desires. So the desire to eat and desire for sex life, these two are very prominent in a conditioned soul, deep rooted. And everything else is centered around these two. So one has to rise above these things and we have to develop attraction for loving and serving Radha and Krishna. Then only we can enter into spiritual world. If I don't have that mentality while being here, which means I have to take another body, material body, and then several material bodies until I completely purify my heart. It's very understandable. Some people ask, Prabhuji, you know, who can go back to Godhead, you know? With this much can we go back or what? It's very easy. Prabhupada says you give a self-test. This is self-test. Wherever our intent goes, we are preparing our next body for that. So we have to surely improve the quality of our consciousness and desires. So, what is saying? With the temporary sense of it is offered by Maya, illusory energy of the Lord. In fact, our strenuous endeavor to satisfy the material senses inevitably brings exactly the opposite result, namely material suffering. So the Avadhut Brahmana says also, Atyantika Dukkha Nivritti, Atyantika Sukha Pravritti. We want to unlimitedly increase happiness and we want to put a full stop to suffering. But what happens? He says, your suffering increases unlimitedly and full stop is put for happiness. Opposite is done. He's saying, a man is attracted to a woman. Being sexually aroused, he marries her and soon there is a family that requires ever-increasing support. In this way, his innocent and simple life is ended. And he spends the major portion of his life working hard like an ass to support the demands of his family. In the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Lord Kapila describes very clearly that in spite of the exhausting work a man performs throughout his life, his family is ultimately dissatisfied. And when the exhausted father reaches old age, the irritated family members look upon him just as farmers look upon an old and useless ox. Sometimes the sons dream of receiving their father's money as an inheritance and secretly wish for him to die. Nowadays people strongly resent the trouble of caring for elderly parents and therefore send them to an institution where they die lonely and neglected after a life of hard work for their so-called loved ones. One doctor in England is seriously proposing euthanasia or mercy killing for elderly persons who are no longer productive. Nowadays some people desiring material sense gratification but hoping to avoid the inconvenience of family life, they try to enjoy free sexual relationship with women without the trouble of marriage. Through birth control and abortion, they eliminate the disturbance of caring for children. In this way, they hope to enjoy material sense gratification without any material impediment. By the laws of nature, however, Such persons become bound in a network of sinful reactions by avoiding their real duty to the Supreme Lord. And by thoughtlessly causing violence and suffering to others for increasing their own sense gratification. Caught in a network of impious activities, they drift further and further away from their original pure consciousness and gradually lose all power to understand the laws of nature. Here it is said, Sarvato Mrityuho. Death suddenly appears, startling such confident sense gratifiers and destroys their entire program of so-called material happiness. Often such persons are afflicted with ghastly diseases and undergo inconceivable suffering, which end in death. If a sincere well-wisher is pointing out these facts to them, trying to inform them of the reality, they become angry and accuse him of being a pessimist or a religious fanatic. In this way, they blindly ignore the laws of nature until these laws inevitably smash them down and drag them out of their fool's paradise. Because of an excessive accumulation of sinful results, they are forced into situations of great distress by the law of karma, sinking down into lower species of life, like the rat I told you, near the Pune station. Sinking down into lower species of life, they lose all awareness of that which lies beyond their gross material senses. Like that he goes on. Sarvato Mrityu indicates that birth and death occur on every planet in the universe. Therefore, even if you go to other planets, there is useless. There is no use, he's saying. And some people are saying, because of false ego, they think, I am everything. I am the most important person. No one is as intelligent as me. Thinking this way, he's talking about the jnanis. We suffer constantly and experience intense anxiety. But as soon as we purify the ego by admitting that we are insignificant eternal servants of Krishna, our ego will give us great pleasure. So, this summary of this this purport very clearly explains the path of fruitive activities. The path of fruitive activities is very, very painsome. But this is not true for Vaishnavas. Those who take to the path of Krishna consciousness, husband and wife and children, they can escape from this path. They, of course, depending on how seriously they engage in Krishna consciousness. Like, you know, as I told you, the misery arising from misuse of senses. You may wear tilak, kantumala, you may be a brahmachari also, but if you misuse the senses, you will suffer like any other materialist. Similarly, a grihastha, a brahmachari, if they don't take the Krishna conscious path very intensely, seriously, then externally wearing the garb of a Vaishnava doesn't save us from the sufferings. The external conformity of wearing tilak and kantimala, and I have an initiated name, I have a guru also. But you know, how are we assimilating the message of Bhagavatam and understanding our true goal of life, how we should conduct our life? So it will depend on that. So it is possible to, even while living in this world, to not follow this path of fruitive activities, which means to give all the fruits to Krishna. So one has to fear the senses. One has to fear that unengaged senses can become a great source of trouble. It's better for me to be careful. And Shastras talk about examples of so many fall downs and blunders in Bhagavatam. You see Bharat Maharaj. You see Bharat Maharaj falling down. Ajamila falling down. You find. Kalakrishna falling down. You find that examples. There are so many temptations. And it's very important for one to have a band of devotees coming together, studying Bhagavatam, practicing Bhagavatam, discussing with one another. The beauty of our mind is, whatever engagement you give the mind, mind will, initially whether mind protests or not, eventually it will accept. I like that example which Shyamananda Prabhu gave. I told you the other day, probably you heard it. The bull, which is a trained bull and untrained bull. Our mind can be like a trained bull, or our mind can be like a untrained bull. But if we leave the mind for a long time, it will be like an untrained bull. Then you cannot use him at all anywhere. You can't use him in the field. You can't use him in a bullock cart. But trained bull, you see, you bring that bull near the cart, automatically goes and stands in his position. And he accepts the tea on his neck. tagarak tagarak tagarak, he runs. And he has got used to it. He knows the sound of the wheels. He has heard the sound of the farmer, now making the sound. He has got the ropes on his neck. And he is very happy to do the work. There's no problem. And farmer also feeds him nice things to eat. He is happy. Similarly, we have to give our head to spiritual master. Let spiritual master climb on our head. Isn't it? Let him conduct our life and we chant the holy name. Asanas to take the beads and asanas to take Bhagavatam. Simply we should be satisfied and delighted in spiritual activities. That is the safest part. Like for grihasthas in family, it is said, husband, wife, children, they can show affection for each other by selfless activities. Like for example, taking care of the elderly members in a family. Doing the household chores, like cleaning the house, putting the rangoli, cooking in the kitchen, cleaning the altar, dressing the deities, arranging some feast for Vaishnavas, and bringing devotees and discussing Bhagavatam and distributing, training children, engaging them in Krishna consciousness. And husband and wife understanding each other's difficulty and being empathic and trying to assist one another in devotional service as spiritual partners. So these are all selfless activities in Grihastha Ashram by which these are all in mode of goodness. All this tolerance, humility, these are in mode of goodness actually. So by adopting the mode of goodness activity, then the house will become like a temple. Then that kind of focus should be there. Otherwise what happens, if husband and wife, they are not Krishna conscious, the children will become headaches. They will become big headaches for them to manage. With Krishna you can manage children, without Krishna you cannot manage. It's very difficult. And the husband and wife will become trouble for each other also, very much. Because the nature of material sense gratification is such that it will increase our sufferings more and more and more. So Bhagavatam gives us a warning. Don't tread the path of fruit activities. So Vidura is a pure devotee, but he is asking question about these things. Just see. Why should he talk about these things? Because unless you clear these things, whether you are a grihastha or a brahmachari, one goal should be clear for us. Sense gratification is poison. And I cannot become happy by that. And I want only Krishna. Anya bilashita shunya. One should be convinced of that. It's not wrong for one to slip and fall down in an unpremeditated way. That is forgivable. Then one is counted amongst the apiche, sudara, charo, bhajate, mamananya bhag. But one should never make a determined effort thinking that I am going to enjoy my senses and become happy. And I am the first man in this world to become happy in that way. Nobody else has become happy, but I am going to become happy. That will never happen. Actually, every fellow entered this world like that only. And every fellow quits the world in the same way as everyone else quits the world. Because the path of sense enjoyment will never make one happy. Atmendriya priti vancha thare bali kam, Krishnendriya priti cha dhare premana. So, prem can make us happy, not kam. So, kam is not only sex life, kam also means hankering for materialistic advancement or materialistic pleasures. So, we should not fall in the trap of settling our material life properly and then coming to Krishna consciousness. Many times there is no end to settling our material life. It just keeps going on and on. So we have to make a balance. But same thing with brahmacharis, I was telling. A brahmachari should be heart of heart very convinced. Only Krishna can make me happy. Only Krishna consciousness can make me happy. We should make the Goswamis our ideal. The acharyas our ideal. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, I was recently reading this Bhaktiya Loka. In Bhaktiya Loka, there is one section, practically there are 25-30 pages given for sadhus. If sadhus want to know how should they lead their lives, all the examples are from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's life. How should you eat? How should you dress? How should you speak? How should you have behavior with grihasthas? How should you have... Every one of those things are given very beautifully. So, Lord Chaitanya is our role model. And we should adopt those principles, and our endeavors and our inclination should be in the direction of how I can offer myself better and better to Krishna more and more, rather than foolishly, secretly pursuing some path of sense gratification to bring more and more suffering. So Vidura wants to highlight this point now. Why? If a devotee is having his inclinations oriented towards sense gratification, his hearing Krishna Katha will be simply a show bottle. Because if he is hearing Krishna Katha, he may hear it with 1 ear and leave it with another ear. For example, if you use your mind to hear Krishna Katha, sometimes you will like, sometimes you will not like. Sometimes the mind will say, oh, Krishna Katha is boring. Oh, I know this pastime, I already heard it before. We think like that. Like if somebody is telling you Navamishwaram and they are telling the pastime of Damodar, people think, oh, I have heard it a million times. I know it well. Because you are hearing with the mind. When we hear it with the heart, we can take shelter. When we hear it with the mind, mind will say, it's boring. I know it. And when you hear it with the senses, they will say, oh, we are very tired. When will the class end? Like that. When you hear it with the heart, we will want to take shelter. So, we have to practice Krishna consciousness with the heart. So, Vidura actually wants to clear this before we may proceed to hearing some pastimes of Krishna, which are actually, of course, sometimes pastimes of Krishna are allowed to be heard by everybody, liberated souls and conditioned souls. But conditioned souls can hear them, but along with hearing pastimes of Krishna, we hear about the creation of the universe, hellish planets, heavenly planets, and all these things. So Vidura is actually preparing us by asking this question. Just like Parikshit Maharaj also asked a question, no? Why did Krishna dance with the gopis? Do you think he had a doubt about it? He personally didn't have any doubt. But he saw that in that assembly there were also jnanis and yogis who may suspect Krishna. So for their sake he is asking a question. Like that Vidura is asking a question here for our sake. But after having cleared this, especially Bhagavad Gita is very important for practicing devotees. Vaisheshika Prabhu in San Jose Temple. So he has made a Chad Club. They call it Chad. Chad Club means one chapter a day, they call it. One Bhagavad Gita chapter a day, whoever promises to read, they can join the Chad Club. So they have 40-50 people in that. Any chapter you can read, but one chapter you have to finish every day. You have to fastly read and finish. And they have been doing it for the last 20 years. Can you imagine? Every day they read one chapter of Bhagavad Gita, along with purport also, not only shloka. So they are doing that. So he was telling me, when I met him personally, last time when I went, he said, if you read Bhagavad Gita regularly, you know, Prabhupada's purports are so powerful, you will be warned not to go in the wrong path. If you regularly, especially the second chapter, third chapter, fifth chapter, sixth chapter, especially first six chapters will help us to harness the mind and senses and intelligence. And the next six chapters are fully devotional service. Chapter 6 to 12. So first six chapters are very important for growing, especially upcoming devotees, in order to make sure that the mind and senses go in the right path. Repeatedly we have to read them and remember them and repeat them, so that we will be able. Otherwise what happens, we want to purify with the holy name, but you are not able to purify. Just like mother wants to feed a child, child runs away here and there. Then how will you feed the child? You go to this room, he runs to that room. You go to that room, he runs to this room. Unless the food goes in, the child will not get fat. Similarly, unless the mind, we make the mind hear the holy name, he's not going to get purified. And it is so difficult. That's why we are using our intelligence to subdue the mind. You have to catch the mind and senses with the intelligence and feed the mind holy name. Hear it now. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. So we purify our intelligence by studying Shastra. And then with the purified intelligence we subdue the mind, impure mind and impure senses, and then with the holy name Chetodarpana Marjam will happen. And then with the mind cleansed of mental desires, we can hear the pastimes of Krishna and relish, truly relish then. Kantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Shilpa Upad ki, Gaur